You today, as we were worshiping and praying together, I just had that sense of, I suppose it was David. Forgive me, I'm not that clued up on which psalm was who, but where he says, I was glad to go up to the house of the Lord in the throng. And it just felt like we were on our way to heaven this morning. So God bless you as you continue worshiping together in Durban North. And Barry asked me to share, and I have a friend in the Word for the World who once rebuked me because she was standing like this in front of a bunch of us, and she said, anyone with a testimony? And we all sat there, and she said, shame on you. You should always have a testimony of God's goodness. And sort of that's what happened this morning, because I think last night when I went to sleep, I wasn't going to speak, and this morning I am. So here is my testimony. God is good all the time. And we are the generation for this generation, for this time and this place, for such a time as this, for such a place as this. And your light is shining far and wide because you are a missional church. And the light that shines furthest shines brightest at home. So God bless you as you are shining wherever you go. And I just got the sense of being a hallelujah. You know, your life is a hallelujah as you allow the joy of God to just change everything in your day. Even brokenness can be a hallelujah to the Lord, because it shows people that he has us and he loves us. But I'd like to read to you quickly, from the Bible. It's from Isaiah chapter 29. And I read the Bible every year, you know, the whole Bible in a year. And this Bible helps me because it gives me nice, it measures it for me. But so this was a recently, and a couple of weeks ago, I came across this and it touched my heart. The whole vision has become to you, this is from verse 11. The whole vision has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. Men deliver to someone who is literate saying, read this please. And he says, I can't, it's sealed. Then the book is delivered to one who is illiterate saying, read this please. And he says, I'm not literate. So the Lord says, as much as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, their hearts are far from me. Their fear towards me is taught by the commandments of men. But I will do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder. The wisdom of wise men will perish, and the understanding of prudent men will be hidden. And skipping forward a bit. In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The humble will increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. There are nations around the world who don't even have this book. It's sealed to them. And you can be a part of, actually, I was going to tell you, Barry always brings me to South Africa in winter. Can you imagine it? Anyway, the reason is because we had to attend a meeting, a wonderful meeting called Do Impossible. Now, you can be part of Do Impossible, because nothing is impossible with God. When you put your hand with his and start to do the work of the kingdom. And I think I can see that you're all busy with that anyway here. But what about those nations to whom the word, the book is sealed, or they are illiterate and can't understand it? We want to see the eyes of the blind seeing God's goodness through his word, and the deaf hearing the words that God wants to say to them, to touch their hearts and change their lives, so that they're not just living as church people doing words taught by men, but they are hearing from God by the Holy Spirit, transforming their lives forever. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Julia. It was really a wonderful time of worship, and I also had that sense that, you know, as we did the Lord's Supper and the beautiful songs, that He shall return in robes of white, and we all will declare the glories of God. So what a wonderful time of worship. And Duncan, I also didn't know that you had such a fantastic voice and that you could lead worship so well. So we all have wonderful surprises, but thank God for your ministry here. And we have enjoyed being missionaries for a long time. And, you know, 1991 is when we first went to Malawi. And this church has really been pioneers with us. You know, Word for the World, it was our second project in Word for the World. And we were the first missionaries to be sent out by Word for the World. And some of these elders that are, some have already gone on to be with the Lord. That's how long I've been in ministry here. But praise God for many who went and even took a tour up to Malawi, and they went and taught the Senate pastors theology, and amazing. We saw so we went in 91, and in 99, Senate New Testament was published, and then in 2006, a full Senate Bible. And I also want to just thank this church for the way you've supported us, and you are our biggest supporting. So I just want to thank you, because I also remember a time, and I was reminded of this. Some of you might even remember there was a pastor here called Dennis Eusted. I think that was his surname. And my brother was here, and I had been given a death knell sort of thing. I was very sick in 2001 after coming back from Malawi. But I thought, that's fine. My job is complete. We finished the Center Bible. But then I got very sick and over this couple of years, and then they were going to take out my bladder and a kidney. And it didn't feel very good and positive. But we asked Dennis to pray for me. My dad was here as well. He was a Baptist pastor. And we prayed right here on the stage. I was anointed with oil. And, you know, I truly believe that the Lord touched me, because it's now 22 years since that happened. And by God's grace, we were able to go to Tanzania with bladder and kidney still intact. But praise God, He healed me. And I was able to go to Tanzania, and I had a vision that we would start 20 languages. So I just want to thank God that, you know, by His grace, I was able to go to Tanzania with Julia, and we had 3 kids by that time. And, you know, within 5 years, we started 10 languages, miraculously, and then it grew to 29 languages in Tanzania now. And then I was only in Tanzania for 5 years and felt that I should hand over to nationals, and that's what we do best in Word for the World. We train national leaders and national consultants to check the quality of the scripture. And so then I came back for a few months to South Africa, and then decided that the Word for the World wanted me to go to UK to try and help develop a support base there. And I had this great vision: Lord, I'm going to raise £1 million for Bible translation. And it took a long time. It never happened. But I went to India several times. In fact, in 1 year, even 10 trips to India from the UK. And I was able to train 5 consultants in India. And then now that number of consultants has grown to about 8. And they are going to Nepal, Vietnam, Laos, even Myanmar, and even Pakistan. So we praise God that the work of God is growing, and it's nationals that are doing the work. And I'm 60 years old now, and I've been in translation for 31 years. And my previous job was a dentist. I used to fix teeth. Well, I was still only in training. And then for 1 year, I worked full-time as a dentist. And then God called me into Bible translation. And my message to you today is that you never know what God is going to do with your life and what He wants to use you for. And certainly, being in a wheelchair, I never thought I'd be traveling the world and helping people to get a Bible in their language. But God had a plan for my life, and He still has a plan. So I just want to thank you for, as a church, for the way you've supported us and been with us on this journey. Because you know how many projects the Word for the World has now? We started with 2 when I came and spoke in this church 30 years ago. Now we have 234 official projects. And they're growing by about 100 every year. And in fact, we have a vision that by 2050, we're going to see 1,000 full Bibles if Christ tarries. But by 2033, which is 2,000 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, and that's why there's a goal with all Bible agencies that by 2033, there will be a portion of Scripture in every language. And there's still about 4,000 to go. So, but Old Testaments, there's still about nearly 7,000 to go. It's crazy. There's a lot of work to do. And I'm going to share something from the Word of God this morning that I believe will touch our hearts, and you will be blessed by it. And I'd love to invite you to come on Tuesday night, and you can ask questions and see, how do we do this, and how can we cope with such, let's say, dramatic growth in the Word for the world? But I once listened to a talk by an ex-Olympian, and he said something that really touched my heart, because he said, if it's not now, then when will it be? He was just about to throw his javelin for the last time. And he said, if it's not now, when will I ever get another chance? So he put every ounce of effort into it. And then if he said, if it's not you who's representing your country, who is going to represent the country? Who else will do it? And that's what I'm wanting to challenge you today is, God has kept you alive at this time, for such a time as this, as Julia mentioned. And if it's not now, when are we going to finish this job of the Great Commission? It's our generation that needs to rise up. God's given us the technology and a lot of money. I'm telling you, there's a lot of money out there that God wants to release into Bible translation. So let me read these verses of Scripture. In Revelation chapter 5, we sang a beautiful song as well about that you were worthy to receive honor and glory and power and might because you were slain. And that's what we're going to read from Revelation chapter 5. talks about a great throne in heaven. And then in verse 7, it talks about a lamb that was slain. And it says here, he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. That was God. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. And each one had a harp, and they were holding a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. So prayer is a very significant thing. And even if you are retired and old and you can't fly, you can't move, you can pray. And that will be part of God's solution to bringing the gospel to every nation. So it says, and they sang a new song, these 24 elders. It says, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God people or persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. So Jesus shed his blood for those 7,600 people, that's language groups, every one of them, even the Afrikaners. Jesus shed his blood for everyone. And I love what our CEO, who's a South African Afrikaner, Kobus van Aswegen, and he said, we are the only white tribe of Africa, the Afrikaners. And I thank God that he shed his blood even for every tribe and nation, the Xhosa, the whole, even the little guys in Papua New Guinea, and some of them, only about 500 of them speak a language. There's some very small language groups out there. But Jesus shed his blood for everyone. And it says, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. So let me just pray and ask God to speak to us through his word. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that we have it in our language. And I pray that you'd speak to each one, to everyone's heart here this morning, that your word is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that you'd just motivate us to become more involved in missions than ever before. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we see there's some dramatic thing happening in heaven, and John the Apostle wrote this. And on the Isle of Patmos, he saw a vision, and he looked into heaven, and he saw that there was this throne, and there was a scroll, and it had seven seals. And it says there was great weeping and wailing in heaven because no one was found who was worthy to open that scroll. And, you know, the whole book is quite a complicated book in Revelation. But the main point of this is that Jesus was the only one that was found worthy in heaven and on earth to open the scroll. And this scroll is talking about the judgment that's going to come on the earth, but also the great salvation of God. So these seals open one by one. And I believe the reason why Jesus was the only one who was worthy to open these scroll is because he shed his blood for you and me. And he bore the wrath of God. And this judgment that is coming on the earth in the end times is a judgment that Jesus has already borne on himself, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. So Jesus died and bore the wrath of God, and therefore he could open these seals and let it all be unleashed, because he already had borne on it himself. And I love what that song was saying about it's the mercy seat of God, that Jesus is the merciful Savior that loves everyone. And we don't have to go through that punishment and that torment and hell, because Jesus did it in our place. So Christ died for all. He died for you and me, and he died for people from every single language and nation and tribe. So all, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And in Peter it says, God is not willing that any should perish. But then we see that there's, the Bible talks about many, to as many as received him, he gave the power to become children of God. So we are not believe that Christ died for all, and therefore all are going to heaven. There's that lovely chorus, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. But we know that people have to hear the word of God and respond. And you know that there's a revelation where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him. It's a beautiful scripture, which I even heard as a young man and opened my heart. And I want to thank God for that, that he comes into our heart. But you know, in the Sena language of Malawi, if I read that scripture to a Sena person, he would say, wow, no. Jesus is not a thief, because only a thief knocks on the door when he comes to your house. And if there's any noise inside, then he runs away. But if it's quiet, then he goes in. So the way you have to translate that verse of scripture is to say, behold, I stand at the entrance of your house and I shout, Hodi. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the entrance of his house, I will come in. So the Bible translation is such an important task in getting this good news to the people of God. You know, they have to understand what Jesus is saying through his word. And God created these different cultures and languages. And it's so important for us to be able to hear the word of God in a way that we can understand it. So even the Sena people have welcomed the good news, standing at their compound shouting, Hodi. I want to come in. I want to be your friend and your Savior and your Lord. And I thank God that so many are coming to Christ because they have the word in their own language. And you as a church have invested in that. So there are many that have opened the heart and come. Heart aches for those who still haven't heard that call, Hodi, or whatever language works for them, whatever picture they can see, that Jesus wants to come into their lives and make them children. So we are continuing our journey to bring people the word of God in their own language. And here we see that Jesus wants people from every tribe and nation and language. And even if you go to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, it's a beautiful picture. Again, as we look into heaven, it says there, after this I looked, so once all the bowls had been and the seals had been broken and there was this terrible judgment, it says, I looked and before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language, standing before the throne and wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they sang, salvation belongs our God. So praise God. The good news is, we look into Revelation, is that there were people from every language and tribe and nation. And how did that happen? Well, that's the question I have. even before God this morning, how is it possible? How are we going to get the Bible into every language, even in our lifetime or in the next couple of generations? I'm believing, God, that we can do it now. And we have a tremendous collective vision by all Bible agencies. And I've been to America several times in the last few years, and there's a collective growing passion that by 2033, we will see the Bible in every language. And praise God for computers and for technology. We're even using artificial intelligence quite a lot to try and check the accuracy of scriptures, to get back translations done from those difficult languages. I went for 10 years. I still can't read any of the Indian scripts. And there's about 17 different alphabets in India alone. But praise God for the linguists and others who have worked out how to write out these languages. But I check it from looking at my computer screen, and we get the translators to put it into an English back translation so I can read that they've got all the elements of the verse clearly indicated in those computer screens. And we can even check up to 10 languages at a time. And that's not a joke, because I've actually done that myself. We went to Orissa near Calcutta, and we've already seen 10 New Testaments published in those languages, and we're able to check it verse by verse using these back translations, which were done by computer intelligence as well as human beings coaching the computer how to do it. So there are amazing things happening in our world of technology, but we want people to get an accurate translation of the Word of God. And in the book of Revelation, it says, if you change or add or anything to the scripture, you'll have a curse on you. So we are very serious about accurate and good quality scripture, but we want to accelerate the pace. We want to see every tribe getting a Bible in their language. I was working with the team of innovation people. There's two South Africans and one American working on this team. And we designed a program that in Papua New Guinea, about 90 languages are now getting the scripture all at once. They're actually doing it through recordings, and then it's like an audio Bible. And then it gets checked once the recording is done and the community gets involved. And so we are getting the Word of God into these languages with only 500, 1,000 speakers. But there are over 900 languages spoken in Papua New Guinea, which is a small island. But God loves every tribe and every nation. But you know, and in closing, the challenge is, so Christ died for all. We want as many as possible to hear the good news and receive Him. But the problem is that the laborers are few. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 12, I think it's Luke chapter 12, He says, the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. And therefore, ask the Lord to send out workers into his harvest field. And we are serious about training people. And even though we are few, we believe God can multiply our efforts. And maybe even this morning, God is stirring your heart and you're saying, you know what? I would like to get involved in missions. I'd like to get involved even in Bible translation. I'd like to pray. I'd like to give. I'd like to go even. So that's the solution, is that maybe God is stirring your heart this morning. And I thank God for the way He's empowered me and enabled me to keep going. And I've also made the decision that I'm going to go for it as long as I can. And thank God, even this year, we were in Uganda, in Nepal, in Ethiopia, training about 75 new consultants, all nationals that have got some theological training, some experience in Bible translation, and they are continuing the work that I can't do because I can't get everywhere. But we are trusting God to raise up more and more people to do this work. So won't you pray that God will help us to find the right people to train and to get this work done? It's not impossible, because with God, all things are possible. So we as a organization, the Word for the World, are taking the challenge on really face to face. And we're saying, we are going to trust God that He can do the impossible. And just in the last few months, there was a weekend gathering in America where they trusted God to bring wealthy folks together. I don't think Bill Gates was there, but there are several other wealthy people. And they raised $86 million US dollars in one weekend to help the cause of only Bible translation. So we thank God for even our partners. We've got one partner in America that's really helping us. In the last year, they've partnered with us and enabled us to train hundreds more people. We know we've got 650 around their students that we train in a diploma in Bible translation to translate the Bible in their own language. So won't you pray with us that the Lord will send out workers into his harvest field, well-equipped and well-trained Bible translators, to translate the word into their own language and to get the word of God so that people can hear Jesus calling them and that they can come into his glory. So we are very excited about what God is doing in these last days. And I want to thank you as a church for the way you've supported our work very generously. We are really grateful, and you are part of the work that God is doing worldwide. And we are going to see great growth. You know, there were only two fish and five loaves of bread that fed 5,000 people. And if we are faithful in the small things, God will help us to do the impossible. So let's close in a word of prayer, and I'll hand back over to Duncan. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a peep into heaven, even this morning at that great throne room where Jesus was found worthy to open the scroll because he shed his blood to purchase men for God from every tribe and nation. And thank you, Lord, that we see that it was possible that there were people before your throne from every tribe singing glorious songs of praise to you. And so, Father, I pray that as a church, you'll help us to reach the people around us. Help us to be good witnesses for you. Let us do our mission in action and speak with the mouth that you've given us to encourage our friends to come to church, to get involved, to even get involved in supporting mission activities. And I pray that you would bless each one this week as we go out to love and to serve you and to look forward to you, to your return, and to see that everyone that wanted to hear that good news were saved. So I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you.